Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, we are flipping the golf calendar. Officially, a brand new PGA Tour season has risen, and we're headed to Napa to start things off. Plus, the Euro Tour had their major this past week with a familiar face winning. And yes, football is so back. We're here to overreact on everything that happened in week one, plus what we're tuned into outside the world of sports. And this week's guest is a Golf Channel and reality television legend. I'm talking about Double D Don Donatello from Big Break on the Golf Channel. Great throwback name there. We catch up with him and see what he's up to. Plus, we always end with food. And all of it brought to you by our friends at City Bonfires. We turn the corner to those fall months, those crucial months where you get the last bit of outdoor weather if you're in the colder climates. But there's still a lot of good season left if you're in the warmer climates. Enjoy it with a City Bonfire. It's a portable, reusable bonfire that has an easy-to-light stick lighter that makes it extremely quick and convenient for you to have a fire for any occasion. It fits in your beach bag, backpack. It could be your companion for a little nighttime practice session or maybe at your favorite overlook. Check out City Bonfires and citybonfires.com, and our promo code is COLFIRE to save 10% off any order on the website. Again, promo code is COLFIRE, and yes, they've got s'mores kits too. So check them out at citybonfires.com.
Hello, interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Tosi Snacks. I'm Michael, he's Alex. Alex, let's just get right into it. Let's talk about the Ryder Cup because...
Let's get mad about something, right? Obviously.
Let's get mad about something. Let's say, how mad are you? You didn't get a phone call from Steve Stricker. How mad are you about that?
Yeah, we'll talk about another guy who didn't get one either. But yeah, I didn't get one. I had my phone on all day. I actually took a day off of work because I was expecting at least just a call to let me know that I was in consideration for the team and I didn't make it. I did not get that. Yeah.
So instead, really, like, if you haven't played in the Ryder Cup, you're on this team. That's really what we do.
Yeah. And unfortunately, our prediction and hopeful thought of last week, we just wanted someone with the name Kevin on the team. Yeah, that did not come true. No Kevin Kisner. No last week's champion, Billy Horschel. Let's talk about the guys who were picked with the captain picks for Team USA. It was Daniel Berger, Harris English, Tony Finau, Xander Schauffele. I like Scottie Scheffler. Mm-hmm. I like Jordan Spieth. Got the experience there, but there's a few early names I read off there that don't have a fantastic record in match play. I'm left begging for a little bit more on these captain's picks from Team USA.
Yeah, this is a very young team, as we knew after these picks came out, one of the youngest teams we've seen. And I guess the only theory that Captain Stricker was going after here was that we need a team that doesn't know what it's like to lose, because Team USA seems to like to lose a lot.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so, I guess I'll take that with, if we're going that fresh blood route. Sure. I mean, we've just got no bad thoughts in those guys' heads. OK. All right. I'll try and lean into that for the next few weeks if you're extending me an olive branch. But then you take a look over at what Team Europe did, and this is what I would like to call Patrick Harrington playing the hits, Mike. He played all the hits. This was his concert. He said, I'm not playing any album cuts. I'm going right back to the bread and butter that you all know and love that beats Team USA every couple of years. And I'm frankly, I'm very impressed with Team Europe. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, once again, I think we can just go ahead and say, like, Team USA are the underdogs. They're probably going to lose, and, you know, whatever. Okay. There it is.
I know. It's tricky. It's so funny, too. You actually look betting wise right now, Team USA favored, Mike. Team USA is like a -150 or 60 favorite, meaning you get to bet $15 to win 10 on Team USA right now. How nuts is that? I mean, there is value galore on Team Europe. Like I said, they played the hits with Sergio as a captain's pick, Ian Poulter as a captain's pick, fellow Irishman Shane Lowry. And then also, let's forget, on top of all the guys who automatically qualified, they're loaded. They also added a guy named Victor Hovland. Remember him? He's been lighting up the golf world the last couple of years. He joins Team Europe for the first time as well.
I mean, this is a loaded European team. We keep saying this over and over again. And if you told me right now that I had to put money on one of these teams, I'm definitely putting money on Team Europe.
Yeah, it's good. It could be a course of light turncoat week for us in a couple weeks. Yeah. I don't know. If things get ugly,
I am in the business of putting money down on teams that I think are going to win or so. Patriotic allegiance be damned. I'm in the business of making money.
Yes, so. Heart with stars and stripes. Wallet might be in another direction. We'll get to that as the next couple of weeks lead us up to the Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits, though. But let's just say I need a little bit more convincing on these picks in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But they start September 21st at Whistling Straits, which is just going to be a great venue overall. So
yeah, it's going to be fun next weekend. Yeah, it will be. The guy I mentioned who didn't get the call and actually mentioned it, I kind of love this, from Billy Horschel, Mike. He went over to the BMW Championship, which is basically the Euro Tour's like Players Championship. It's their seminal event. If you want to call it a major, you can. It's their best field every single year on the Euro Tour. Billy Horschel, a big affinity for playing in Europe and the European Tour recently. He's had some really cool wins. First won the match play here in Austin earlier this week with a really neat worldwide field, then goes over there and gets this win. And he said, he's like, I don't know, Brooks Koepka's hurt. If Brooks can't go, I'm waiting by the phone, but I didn't get any calls, Steve. Captain Stricker, I would have just at least liked a call saying I finished close, but no cigar. But Billy Horschel just kind of left waiting to see what happens with Brooks Koepka now.
I mean, do we really think that Billy Horschel had a better opportunity to make the team than Kevin Na? I mean, really?
It's close. They're pretty much exactly even in the rankings. If you look at the standings, he was 17. Yeah. Na was 18, I think. And Horschel just didn't follow up. He said after his match play win, he didn't follow it up with consistent play after that to solidify his spot. So he understands that he fell short. He has a knack for doing this, Mike. You'll remember he won the FedEx Cup just a week or two before the Ryder Cup when it was already too late to select him and put him on the team. Billy Horschel got one of those very interesting, unique win careers. He's got no major, no players, but he's got a $10 million FedEx Cup, an awesome WGC here in Austin, and now a great win on the Euro Tour. Like, you know, if you're not going to win a major in your life, just strive for a career like Billy Horschel's.
Are we slowly preparing to put the mantle of greatest player to never win a major on his shoulders? Is that what we're trying to set up here?
The first Jenga block in that argument right there. Yeah, so we'll revisit that as we turn the corner of the spring. I like that.
But so Ryder Cup's team set without Billy Horschel, that's too bad for him. Yeah. LPGA is back in session this weekend as well. They head to the Oregon Golf Club for the Cambia Portland Classic.
Yeah, just we got to shake the rust off that Solheim Cup. That was a little frustrating, but nonetheless, it'll be good to see the stars back in action.
It will indeed. Speaking of stars, let's talk about a past guest, holy moly, champion Blake Sledge.
Oh, yeah. It's this Thursday, Mike. It felt like so long ago we talked with Blake because he was right at the beginning of season three when he got his show victory, which means that he qualified for this week's $250,000 finale. You'll remember we had $250,000 finale champion Tanner Beard on last year. Let's just say I think I got a good feeling. I'm putting it the good vibes out in the air for Blake Sledge Thursday night, ABC, holy moly. Tune in. I think I got a good feeling about our boy. We're looking to get a second trophy and add it to our podcast guest trophy case. How's that sound?
Yeah, I think it. Yeah, I like it. It's going to happen.
We're doing it. So we'll see. Thursday night, ABC, check it out. It's 8-7 Central, holy moly, on ABC. Really fun mini golf competition. You can check out our interview with Blake Sledge a few months back in our archives as well.
All right. Coming up on Thursday as well is the start of the 2021-2022 PGA Tour season. 47 scheduled events. They're going to be in Napa for the Fortinet Championship.
Little high security software company, I believe. They're just keeping the internet safe. That's what Fortinet's doing. Yeah.
And we'll see if they can keep the balls safe in the cup.
I like that. I was wondering how you were going to segue that to golf. Nice transition there.
No, I don't think it was that good.
Yeah, it's the Fortinet Championship, Silverado, Napa Valley. Fun drinking game for everyone at home. Take a sip of your favorite beverage every time you see a player post on social media at a vineyard this week. It seems to be the trip of the week for everyone who's out there. Our buddy and friend of the show, Dylan Wu, has already gotten out there. I saw Austin Smotherman, a whole bunch of other guys taking in the Napa Valley vibes. looking forward to seeing some new fresh faces, though. Like I mentioned, all these Korn Ferry guys who just graduated are going to get their maiden voyage and their first shot at it out there as we turn the corner to the new season. So it's gonna be a fun new leaderboard. There's a lot of name learning starting this week when you're watching the golf.
There is, but at the same time, there are a couple marquee names playing, including John Rahm.
I saw that. Yeah. I'm wondering if this is the thing where there, I know there's a little bit of a policy on tour where you gotta pluck and pick and choose at least a couple new starts at venues you don't normally play every year. I think this is how he's working that in, or he just wants to get himself off to a great start. You know what I mean? You do realize this is a wraparound season and you lose ground if you're sitting out these fall events. So he might be taking advantage of that opportunity. At a course he's unfamiliar with, but yeah, Rahm's in the field. We just discussed Kevin Na also in the field as well, too. PGA Tour Rookie of the Year from last season, Will Zalatoris in the field.
Not a member until this season, however.
Officially.
He's Rookie of the Year, but he was not a member.
Officially, finally, PGA Tour member. So yeah, interesting little field there. Like I said, you're going to see a lot of new names mixed with some familiar names. I'm going to be looking out for my guy, Sebastian Munoz, as well, too.
They've got a good affinity
for the fall as well, too. You remember he won in Mississippi a couple years ago. So this is about that time when these certain players head back to venues and times of the year that they're familiar with playing well in. So watch out for him. Watch out for our picks on Twitter as well. I'm at Course of Life 1, and you're at MWRINC Weekly. Wednesday night, we're throwing those picks out for the start of the new season.
And just a reminder, we had four winners each last season, I think it was.
Yes, we did. We will quickly toot our own horn. That was a pretty solid showing from us. So we're delivering an outright winner. This is a Wednesday pick to win on Sunday. This isn't some last second bet on Sunday morning to see who's going to win. This is a pre-tournament bet. You're getting great odds here. We like to pick about a handful of guys a week. Mike picks about three. And we've been doing well. We've been delivering a winner consistently about every month or two. So stick with us. Check out the picks if you want to win some money with us as well.
Let's switch over to Tuned In, where we let you know what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. Maybe you give you some ideas of what to check out as well. What have you been watching this week? Are you going back to the 90s?
Yes, I am. I'm turning the clock back to the late 90s. Remember when everything was just like so great in the world in the late 90s and just like the country was awesome.
A thing yet.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. There was just all the hipster stuff is gone. Like we were just all normal human beings.
We were all wearing Jenko jeans and watching music videos on MTV.
We were, yeah. And then all of a sudden we had a massive scandal that rocked our world. You and I were at that precocious age where we were just starting to turn from boys to men. And we learned all about the birds and the bees through the biggest presidential scandal in our recent memory, which was obviously the Monica Lewinsky scandal with Bill Clinton. Mm-hmm. And this new series, Impeached, is kind of like a biopic series that looks back on all of that. A blow-by-blow, pun intended, of everything that went down in the late 90s in the White House. And it's been fascinating. We're one episode in. They're airing on Tuesday nights. And it's interesting to turn back the clock to that time in our history.
This is part of FX's original crime series that they now do, right? They already did OJ, and now they're doing Clinton and Lewinsky.
Correct. There's a few familiar faces in there. I don't remember them off the top of my head, but if you watch TV or movies, you'll see some familiar faces in the cast as well, too. And we're just kind of breaking the seal on the story. It hasn't broken yet, but Linda Tripp figured out that Monica's got some sort of secret, and she's holding it back, but we don't know what it is, and soon enough, we're all going to find out. So it's got me glued through one episode, and I'd suggest you check it out as well.
Spoiler alert, he stays the president.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. Yes. Spoiler. In case anyone was wondering. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good stuff. What are you tuning to?
I'm actually listening into another podcast outside of what we do every week. I listen to podcasts, and I recently binged a series called Stuff the British Stole.
Wow. So historically they stole, or what context?
Yes. It's done by the ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Company. Okay. And it's literally each story is about items from cultures around the world that the British stole and have in their museums.
Oh, wow. Hit us with an example off the top to get our minds wandering.
A good example would be a shield from the Aboriginals that Captain Cook took when he first arrived in Australia.
Oh, interesting. Wow. We're going way back. Yeah. Okay. Back to the Aboriginals.
Yeah. I mean, we're going like all over through history. It's really interesting to hear kind of, you know, colonialism through this lens. And, you know, you hear a lot of it recently anyway about, like, you know, museums house all these artifacts from different cultures, but they're never in the places where these artifacts came from. And these countries and the people want them back. So, you know, it's don't keep it there in Britain, give it back to Australia where it belongs, because that's where it came from. And it's just a really interesting story to hear about how dirty history really is. And then the politics that plays into the current, like, you know, who owns something, who owns a piece of history.
Interesting thoughts. Yes, that's quite the internet wormhole when you're starting to find the origin of things too. Who started this? Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you. Love that. Cool stuff. The British stole. That's a neat one. I love it. That's what we tuned into this week.
All right. Let's go ahead and get into this week's guest. And, you know, whenever you put golf and reality TV together, you know that we're usually tuning into it. And this week's guest is a fan favorite of the Golf Channel series, Big Break.
Yes, that's right. The Big Break. God, I miss that show so much. It's funny. Early in COVID, they ran through like every single season on the Golf Channel when nothing was going on in the world. Mm-hmm. So I got to relive all those fun moments. You're going to recognize the name of this week's guest. That's right. We're talking to Don Donatello. He was on season 2 of Big Break way back in the day. I think it was 2002 or 3. But his character lives on, one of the greatest Golf Channel reality TV personalities that ever came from that show. This is a fun, wide-ranging conversation. Interesting to see where he is now as well.
Can't wait to hear all of it with Don Donatello. But first, as always, this interview is brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, our friends of the show and the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Phone Caddy lets you strap your phone right onto the side of your golf cart so it's easy to view and use all day long. No more fumbling around the dark spaces of your golf cart, dropping your phone on the seat, or even worse, onto the grass as you drive away. The Phone Caddy keeps you locked in safely so you can stay locked into your round. It'll be the talk of your foursome, and it's a great gift for any golfer in your life. And for our listeners, you can save 10% off your purchase of a Phone Caddy with the promo code COURSEOFLIFE. It comes in a range of colors, and you can even show your support with their patriotic line. So head on over to DesertFoxGolf.com to get your Phone Caddy, and don't forget to use the promo code COURSEOFLIFE to save 10%. Again, that's promo code COURSEOFLIFE at DesertFoxGolf.com.
Next up, it's no secret that we're golf fans here on the Course of Life, and professional golf truly is a never-ending reality show. This guest was one of the pioneers of golf reality television. He's a pro now turned caddy, and he's actually got a guy who's heading out to the PGA Tour this upcoming season as well, who he's on the bag for. It's the legend, Don Double D Donatello, joining the Course of Life. Don, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Definitely. It's great to have you on. Let's start with the beginning. Obviously, your name rolls off the tongue wonderfully. Don Donatello. It's a classic name that's very hard to forget. Is Don actually your birth name, or was that a nickname of yours?
Nope. My name is Don. My middle name's Anthony. My last name's Donatello, and I'm a junior. So little weird, kind of dad junior.
Nice. You got it all covered. Great, great name indeed. And we love following your entire journey from player to caddy as well, too. I know that in your formative years, though, it wasn't immediately golf for you growing up. I see you played a lot of baseball when you were younger, but made kind of a quick switch to golf and got right into it. And all of a sudden, a few years later, you were playing on a scholarship. I'm curious kind of how that switch went down in your more formative years.
Well, I was playing baseball for a long time, and I was playing on the high school team at Clearwater High School, and trying to make the team my junior year to go into my senior year. You had guys that were trying to take your spot away from you, and a freshman took my spot going into our senior year. And I was just kind of frustrated that, you know, I've been playing baseball my whole life, and you know, here a freshman takes my spot. And so then I decided to take up golf. My dad played golf. I kind of rode around with him. Maybe I hit a couple of shots every now and then, but never really had the the love that I had for golf that I did in baseball. And so I just, like, a couple of the guys that went to school with my dad were teachers, and they helped me, and I gravitated really quick and got really good really quick. I mean, I eagled every single hole at my home course other than the par threes, holed out from the fairway my first year that I played golf. The game became very easy to me. So I decided to play my senior year of high school. And unfortunately, my grandfather died my senior year of high school. So I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. And so a kid that I played on the same high school team as me went to college. And when he went to college, he called me about a year later and asked what I was doing and asked if I wanted to come play with him on that team, on that, you know, college team.
Wow. Okay.
Nice. And so I went and played with the golf coach there and shot 66. That's only a year and a half of playing golf. And the coach said, I'm going to give you a full ride. So I went to college.
Love that. That's so cool. That might be the quickest eclipse from picking up the game to 66 and getting a scholarship that I've ever heard about, for sure. Very neat. So, and you turned pro after the college career. Now, we've talked to lots of different pros at all different levels, and they've gone through the grind for 1 year, 5 year, 10 years, 20 years. Talk to me about the grind of playing professionally, and then that the mix and the point. I know you've been caddying for a long time as well. Did you kind of always have it in your mind to be a caddy in addition to a pro, or was it always be a pro first for you and you fell into caddying through friends? What was that transgression like for you?
Well, I always thought as a player, never thought about a caddy, never even knew what a caddy was. You know, I never played any amateur golf other than my senior year of high school. And then I only did 2 years of college and turned pro. So I just turned pro right after 2 years of college. So it was me playing on the mini tours and grinding. And I missed at second stage of Q school twice. I missed at sectionals of US Open qualifying seven times, to get in the US Open. That when I was playing at this course down in Orlando, Chris DeMarco and Jim Thorpe and Fulton Allum and Donnie Hammond, there was a bunch of tour players that played there, and I played with them all the time. When Chris DeMarco's parents came up to me one day and said, would you like to caddy for Chris and help him keep his card? He was going to lose his card. That was in 1998. Wow. And, I went to my wife and I said, you know what? I'd like to see what these guys got out there. I mean, I know how good I am, but I'm struggling to make it. So I decided to go caddy for Chris DeMarco just to see what it was like. And I didn't realize that I would fall in love with the game even more, through a different set of eyes caddying.
Right. Interesting.
Even though they were my eyes, I was seeing the game in a different view as a player, let alone as caddy.
Nice. Kind of allowed you to take a half step back and look at things with a double focus there. That's very intriguing. So it kind of reignited your passion at that point. We're in late 90s, early 2000s. And then we have to talk about the opportunity that came along originally with the big break. For those golf fans who remember the original Golf Channel reality show that definitely captivated the golf fans around the world. Just taking back to maybe the day when you auditioned, or maybe when you first heard about this opportunity and were maybe be put in front of a camera to see if you could potentially be on a show like this.
Well, it's really weird. One of my friends that was much younger than me, that I'd been friends with, he said he was going to try to audition for some stupid show called The Big Break. And I'm like, what is it? And he said it was some golf reality show on The Big Break on the Golf Channel. I'm like, well, what do you have to do? And he goes, well, you have to fill out this information about yourself. It's like seven pages. And I'm like, oh, I'm not doing this. And then I said, you know what, maybe I will. And so I filled out, it was seven pages. And next thing you know, like 2 or 3 weeks later, I got a call and said, we'd like you to audition for The Big Break. And you need to go down to Doral in Miami and audition. And I said, okay. And so my whole family, we drove down there. I went in audition. I had to hit one driver straight, one cut, one draw, one 5-iron straight, one 5-iron cut, one 5-iron draw. And then I had to hit like a 80-yard wedge. And then I had to hit a little flop shot into a bucket. And then I had to speak in front of the camera. Well, there was 10,000 people that put in applications and 3,500 people got auditions and only 10 of us made it. Yeah. So 10 people out of 3,500 people trying to get on the show. And that was a big chance for me to change my life or see if I had the ability to get to the next level. Another chance, you know, after caddying for a couple of years for DeMarco.
Very cool. Yeah, I know. Obviously, the game shined through for you, and I'm sure your personality shined through, which is what made you such a lovable and entertaining character the entire season. Now, I'm curious, you know, you were known on the season for playing with a lot of fire, a lot of aggression out there on the course. Did you always played kind of with that fervor and that energy, or was that just kind of a moment in time in the way you acted during that point in your professional career? Curious to take us a little behind the scenes on kind of how you approach the season from an attitude perspective as well.
Well, when I played, I always had a lot of fire and a lot of charisma or a lot of confidence. I always believed in myself. And I think in any sport, to be successful, you have to have that side to make it. And when I got on the show, there was a lot of guys on the show that had never even won a golf tournament, let alone played in a golf tournament in general. And I'm listening to all this BS that they're talking about how great they are, but they have never accomplished anything. And so I'm just, you know, sitting back and watching this. But as the show progressed, they, you know, obviously they started picking on me because they knew that you got to get rid of the strongest link. That's the way you win things. And unfortunately they tried, but it was really hard. But also, as the show would go, the producers would tell you things like, "Did you know that such and such said this about you?" to get you even more fired up.
Yes, of course, yeah.
And they would start, because it's a reality show, and start a lot of drama. So a lot of that drama was due to wanting to make the show more entertaining. And so some of the stuff, yes, I did say it, but some of it was more self-endued by them, you know, creating drama and maybe making me say things that I said once, but they could make me say it like 50 times. But not show my face. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious. I've asked people who've been on reality television shows before. Do you think you got a good edit? Do you think you were portrayed fairly overall over the course of the season?
You know, I think some of the stuff they portrayed me to be the bad guy, and I'm a good person, always very helpful, always. But I do have a lot of energy and I'm not afraid to speak my mind. I'd rather be that type of person than be two-faced or, you know, be nice to you, even though I don't like you. So I've always been just a straight to the point type of person. So I'm fine the way they portrayed me because I think it helped, won the show and it opened up opportunities for me, because of who I am.
Love that. And the authenticity definitely shined through. Again, Don Donatello joining us. Golf Channel legend from the Big Break series, now caddying out there, soon to be on the PGA Tour. Tell me about the most notable line real quick. It was regarding pulling that tape tight. It was a closest to the pin competition, and you belted out one of the greatest lines in Big Break history. Tell me about that, the moment in time, and specifically where that line came from.
Well, I don't know why I even said that, but it was, you had to stand behind the wall. The person hit the shot. You couldn't see where the shot landed. That person would have to say, "Well, I hit it 6 feet, 3 inches." And you would either tell them whether they were lying or telling the truth. Well, if you said they were lying and it was truthful, you had to hit it half that distance. So you had to hit it like 3 feet, 1.5 inches or whatever.
Love that caveat.
Well, I hit, and I hit this shot, and it hit right behind the hole, and it spun back. And I had been watching that the tape measure had never been really tight. It always had too much slack in it. And I knew that, you know, you can lose by a half an inch real easy. And so that's when I screamed, pull it tight, because I wanted to make sure they got the number correct.
Definitely.
Because I knew it was going to be close. Well, I lost by like a quarter of an inch. So that's why I said, pull it tight, you know? So that was that was pretty funny. I get that all the time when I'm caddying and somebody screams, pull it tight.
Yeah, that was my next question, is do you get that spare request from a gallery member here and here, or a random shout out? I bet you do. Nice.
You know, it's been almost 18 years since I've been on that show. That was Big Break 2. And I get either booyah, pull it tight, player hater. I get some comment. Somebody says something to me, or is that Don Donatello walking by? And it's amazing that after 18 years that I still get noticed, and I'm 52 now. That was a long time ago.
So cool. Yeah, we still remember it. Great, great moment for golf fans and television fans of the Golf Channel as well. Don, let's talk about some of the guys that you have caddied for and get to the guy who you're on the bag for now. Just give me kind of 30 seconds on a few guys, because I know you've worked for so many on the bag recently. But let's start with another Big Break alum as well, too. Tommy Two Gloves Ganey, for anyone who doesn't know, this is the pro who quite literally came from the Big Break. And yes, he plays with two gloves. What was that experience like being on the bag for him?
He's an incredible person, talented player, got a huge heart, will give you everything. He will bleed for you to win. I mean, the guy, if you tell him to hit it at that flag and there's nothing there, he'll hit it right at it. We almost won one Disney tournament. We shot 25 under.
Yeah.
We shot 29 on the back nine on Saturday and Sunday. Davis Love III beat us by a shot at 26 under. The next closest was 19 under. And rightfully, he's an unbelievable golfer, and he was great to work for.
Very cool. Nice. Yeah, it was cool seeing that team come together when it did. A couple Big Break legends. You mentioned Chris DeMarco earlier. One of those guys that just had so many, not only victories and successes, but so many close calls as well, too. Always a very gutsy competitor. What kind of struck you? You said, you know, you got the opportunity to caddy for him. It changed your perspective a little bit. What was it about watching Chris specifically that made it change your perspective on what it took to be at the PGA Tour level?
Well, just in general, how good these guys really are. And then just how they handle situations, how they go about course management stuff. It, you know, what a lot of people out there don't understand is there's a lot more to golf than just swinging the golf club. There's structure, there's practice routines, there's the way you go about things, there's the way you handle situations, the way you think, there's the way that you eat, there's the way that you work out. So everybody thinks of, God, I got to have a perfect golf swing, I got to do this, I got to hit the balls, I got to hit balls after balls after balls, I have to practice. No, that's not what you have to do. You have to have, I learned that you had to have a routine, and you have to believe in yourself, and you have to continue to do that same stuff every single day to become great are to where they are.
Nice. Yeah, the routine's definitely an important part, and you see the world's best with their routines weekly on the tour. Let's talk about where you're hopefully heading, you know, heading to the PGA Tour with a guy now. And it seems like the crop of Korn Ferry players is just growing year by year. We've highlighted many on the podcast. One who's graduating along with your current bag right now is Dylan Wu, who we've had on the podcast. But you're on the bag now for a guy named Alex Smalley, who's graduating from the Korn Ferry Tour. You're trying to get the best possible number for next season. But for those of us who don't quite know Alex or haven't seen his game yet, tell me what we're getting and what you're looking forward to bring out to the PGA Tour next season.
Well, he's a graduate of Duke. He graduated 2 years ago. He played on the Walker Cup team. And he actually did really well. I think they won. They played overseas on that Walker Cup team. He's an upcoming young player, really has never, he's played in, I think, 5 PGA Tour over his career. he hits the ball really long, hits all the shots. It's the low little squeeze cuts out there. He can hit the high bombs. He's got great iron control, chips the ball well, putts well, got a great demeanor, which is very, very important to be successful on the PGA Tour, handling yourself. Because you're going to have a lot of trials and tribulations under a lot of pressure and a lot of scrutiny, which is the TV. And he's looked at a lot of these players when he grew up, and now he's going to be playing with a lot of these people, and those come a lot of pressures too. So I see a bright future for this kid, but you just never know. This is a game. It's a cruel game. It's great when it's going well, and it's not good when it's not going well. As you see number one players in the world, lose it and you never see him again. And so my goal is to keep him well grounded, and he's got a great mom, a great dad, a great sister, a great agent, and also me being out there on the PGA Tour for 23 years, off and on caddying. I know what I need to do to help him stay focused and not get ahead of himself. And that's really the biggest part of being successful is to focus on what you have at hand, what's in front of you, and not what's next week or behind you at this level.
Yeah, living in the present indeed. So I'm looking forward to following you guys out there real soon on the PGA Tour for the 21-22 season. Again, it's Don Donatello joining us. Don underscore Donatello on Instagram, D2 underscore 59 on Twitter. Just a couple quick shot questions before we wrap up here. It is D2 underscore 59 on Twitter. I'm curious, how many 59s have you had in your day as a player? What's that count at?
Well, the reason why I put 59, because I thought I would shoot 59 someday. I've only shot 60 twice.
Oh, we're still waiting. Really, oh, man.
I'm still waiting. Maybe when I turn 59, I'll shoot 59. So who knows?
Yes, that'd be a good shoot your age moment. I just saw Bernhard Langer shot his age at 64, too. Pretty impressive stuff. So it's a lifelong game indeed. And then in terms of caddying, your best round 60. I know you've been on the bag for some notable rounds. What's just the most impressive 18 holes of golf you've ever watched as a caddy personally?
Well, I mean, I caddied for J.J. Henry about 3 or 4 years ago in Las Vegas, and we shot an opening round 60, which is a course record there. And so that's probably that would have to be the best round I've ever caddied for and been part of. And I hope to have many more of those with Alex Smalley.
Yeah, let's do a 60 this fall. That sounds like a nice start to kick things off for you guys. So hopefully that's in the plans as well. And then our final question we love to ask Don is our 19th hole question. So when you get in after a long day on the bag, you get into the clubhouse or your favorite restaurant on the road, maybe, what's your go-to option for a 19th hole meal and drink of choice?
Oh, gosh. Well, I definitely like a beer. I like a lot of different choices. If it's on draft, I'll take a Yingling or a Modelo or a Dos Equis, definitely with a lime in there. Gotta have a real good steak. I mean, a bonefish grill is unbelievable. We don't find too many around, but you know, when I do, I'd like to have a nice steak dinner and, got to have your greens, so I have a little broccoli on there too.
Yeah, that's a good combo right there. Nice protein heavy, good American steak and beer combo. Love that. Again, Don Donatello hopping on, big break legend, now set to caddy on the PGA Tour for Alex Smalley. Don, thanks so much for hopping on. Best of luck with your game and everything on the bag this fall too.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
And we're back. Great chat there with Don Donatello. I just have to say, booyah.
Oh, for my Don. God. Yes.
So great.
I'm glad he mentioned it too. I had all these memories of Don Donatello catchphrases, and I had hold that tape tight. I had that one memorized from 20 years ago. But the booyah, that really hit home for me in 2002 and 2003, as did every golf fan as well too. What a moment.
just fan. Fantastic. And if you like that interview with Don, plus everything else we do here on this podcast, just take a moment, We're going to pause for a moment so you can go ahead and hit that four stars, that thumbs up, that like button on your podcast app and let everyone else know that you like this podcast. Go ahead and hit share even. Share this episode with a friend.
That's right. We're talking about nothing right now. There's no important conversation piece.
Nothing.
There's no tidbit you need to miss or recipe or anything like that.
Nothing.
Like this is the moment you could do it right.
Now.
About now. Okay, cool.
All right. Now's time.
Thank you for
time.
Taking care of that and following as well, too. Looking forward to more great interviews like that one. And I'm looking forward to following Don on tour now. So he's caddying for Alex Smalley, for those who are watching this week and upcoming week. So watch for Alex Smalley's name on the leaderboard. Corn Ferry graduate who's got Don on the bag. So hopefully they ride at the top and we see him out there a lot more.
Does that mean we're throwing a dollar down on them? Are we going to ride the Alex Smalley Don Donatello train here?
Could be like a 200-to-1 odds ballpark right now, maybe to win. Like, that could be a fun party, right? Like that.
Yeah. Nice. That'd be great. you know what else was great? This week's college football slate, because you went 8-6.
Yeah, no, it was good.
You came out on top for the weekend.
It's fun to win. I'm back over 500. I had a little bit of a rocky start if you saw a couple weeks ago, but we got the wheels back on the road. And the notable loss was Ohio State losing at home to Oregon.
Yeah.
That was surprising. Did not see that coming. Did not think they'd lead an egg.
Yeah, I appreciate you not calling them the Ohio State.
No,
they don't deserve that title.
Well, yeah, you have to win commandingly in order to get that word at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So, no, they're just Ohio State. They lost. That's a tough loss for them. So the Big Ten's wide open. My Longhorns lost as well, too. But yeah, overall, the picks, again, on Twitter at Course of Life 1. I'll throw the card up on Saturday morning. But we got some weekday games. There's college football all the time when you least expect it. So check me out on Twitter and see if we can ride the wave to some winners this season.
Let's talk NFL. How does it feel to know that your New England Patriots are statistically in the record book right now, just as bad as my New England, my New York Giants?
They're basically the same thing. Yeah, no. 0-1. That's correct. It was unfortunately a loss to start the season. I can't remember the last time that happened for the Patriots, to be honest.
Pretty bad. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, here's the worst part is Mac Jones looked great, threw for almost 300 yards, one TD, no interceptions, didn't give the ball away at all. It just felt like Bill was being really, he had the gloves on, you know, he had the kitty gloves on. It was being very protective of the rookie quarterbacks. It was a very safe game plan, and one fumble did him in late. So yeah, 0-1, rough start. But the overall resounding news is, I think we got our quarterback, TBD. We'll see. How do you feel about your quarterback at 0-1 right now?
You know, I'd love to turn my attention to like a different sport right now, but
we're already committing sports.
Let's stay with the Giants because it's not that much better on the other side of the coin right now. We'll get to that in a moment. you know, the Giants, while they may be 0-1, let's just go ahead and call them 0-2 because they lost twice, I think. On Saturday, they just looked horrible against Denver. They really looked bad.
I know there was one great Sterling Shepard touchdown that I saw, but that was him all making a play. Other than that, it was the Jalen Jones we've been talking about all August, who just gives you moments of greatness, but a flurry is a bad. So yeah, we're both 0-1, and we have a little bit of pondering to do for the rest of the week here. But yeah, you mentioned your other team because you got a free fall in baseball as well too. I handed things over to you in the AL East from Boston to New York, thinking that you could maybe take the baton and run with it past the Rays, but that doesn't appear to be the case. Yeah.
And in fact, if the season were to end right now, it's Monday evening, Toronto and Boston would make the wild card and the Yankees would be out.
That is crazy. Three teams, same division, too, and the Yankees would still be out. Unbelievable.
Yankees would still be out by half a game. They'd be up by half a game right now. They lost. They lost again. No, they won today. They won today. Sorry.
That's good.
They
is the gut check time where actually I'll be retuning into baseball for sure, because these last few weeks, especially when you get a good race like this, everything is spine tingling for fans out there of Major League Baseball. So we'll be watching the AL East here in the last few weeks before we get to the playoffs.
Let's turn our attention to something a little nicer and hashtag always end with food.
Yeah, let's do that. Brought to you by our friends at Tosi, makers of the Tosi Bites, the Super Bites, our favorite on-course and off-course snack, a healthy way to start your day. They've got a variety of flavors, and you can find them all at tosi.com/COL. Promo code is COL20 for 20% off as well. check them out there. My how always end with food note for the week is that I'm heading to a wedding for the first time in a few months as well, too. Doing a little drive, not a drive, flight up north to see the wife's family. But the question for you, Mike, is what do you typically enjoy seeing when you first get to the wedding? Maybe pre-dinner, I'm talking past apps. You know, you and I love talking past apps. What are the highlights for you? What are you looking for?
I feel like this is a rhetorical question.
Yep.
And you know my answer.
I know, yeah.
Crab cakes.
I was leading you into the wedding crashers line. That's always the first thing we look for.
Crab cakes and football. This is what Maryland does.
Thank you. If you're at a crab cake, crab puff, past app wedding, you know you're at a great one. If not, what am I looking for? I'm looking for mini sliders. I'm looking for a fun little one chip and dip creation. I always love shrimp cocktail. Yeah. I know you're a shrimp cocktail guy, so those always play well at past stops.
Arancini is fantastic, always.
Yes, that's nothing like your standard bacon wrapped chicken or bacon wrapped scallop always plays very well. Yeah, those are all work for me. So
Spanica pita. I mean, it really, a past app is usually always good.
So we'll see what I track down this weekend. I'll try and snap a couple photos and I'll post them to Always End With Food Pod, which is our food podcast Instagram as well. So we'll see what I can hunt down this weekend at the wedding.
It's going to be great. I don't know if it'll be as good as everything that came out of my kitchen this weekend, but.
So I saw one thing, but what did you all get into? I only saw one dish on the grill though. What was the full menu?
It was a crazy weekend this weekend. So Friday night I did something super easy. Actually, I took a side of salmon, cut it into chunks, just took some store-bought pesto, threw it all together, let it sit for a while, put it on some skewers and put it on the grill. So we had pesto salmon skewers.
That sounds delightful.
On Friday.
Wow.
Fantastic. Just great. We had steak on Saturday night with a compound butter.
Cool. Man, that's like steakhouse material right there. Yep. You're going the extra step.
Also great.
That's good.
With smashed potatoes.
Smashed, you said? Distinctive difference.
Potatoes that you boil and then you just smash them so they're flat and then you put them in the oven.
There you go. So okay. Thank you for that clarification. The people at home want to know. Yeah.
And then I baked a loaf of fresh bread on Sunday. So we had fresh bread, still have fresh bread to use up more of that compound butter. So, you know, it's a good time to be in my kitchen.
Yeah, nice array. And out on the grill, too. I saw those skewers. Mm-hmm. Check those out for sure. It's Always In With Food Pod and COL Podcast. If you want to follow us there on Instagram, that was hashtag Always In With Food. Check out Always In With Food Pod as well. Episode monthly. We'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in to an episode of The Course of Life.